It's 8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
A very good evening to you, and you're welcome to Behind the News, a program which examines issues from the perspective of newsmakers and experts. My name is Agatha Samoa, and tonight, all eyes on the Supreme Court as we gradually inch closer to the verdict. We gauge the temperature of the country ahead of the judgment tomorrow. Are Ghanaians leaving the shores of the land in their numbers, fearing the worst after the Supreme Court decision? The Ghana Immigration Service says no, the reports are false. Authorities of the service will join us on the line to tell us more on this. And UTAC strike to continue as universities remain open without teaching. We will get the first-hand information about a meeting by the association today on the strike. Join me in the next hour as we delve into these issues. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. We're also live on Obonu FM 96.5 in Tema, Radio Central 92.5 in Cape Coast, and Radio BAR 93.5 in Sinai. How prepared are Ghanaians towards tomorrow's Supreme Court verdict? Are people going about their normal business with no sense of worry about a possible outbreak of violence? In less than 24 hours from now, the Supreme Court will be delivering a judgment on the presidential election petition in which Nana Akufo-Addo and two others are challenging the validity of the declaration that President Mahama won last year's presidential election. From the look of things, it seems security and discourse has been over-concentrated in Accra, the capital. So tonight, we move to the regions to get a sense of how the rest of the country are preparing for tomorrow's verdict. And this segment is brought to you in collaboration with Star Ghana. Now we begin from the Bunahafu region, where Radio Ghana's correspondent John Samata gives us a picture of what to expect from Bunahafu tomorrow. Good evening, John, and you're welcome.
Thank you, Agatha.
Well, John, how prepared is Sinai with regards to the Supreme Court's verdict tomorrow?
Well, Sinai, with 4 days to go to the declaration of the ruling, that's last Sunday, had the privilege of hosting the no less a personality than the chairman of the National Peace Council, the presiding bishop of the Methodist Church. And he spoke very passionately about how Ghanaians must not allow tomorrow's verdict, you know, to cause chaos or mar the peace that the country has been enjoying all this while. And so I'll say that we've had advice from the very top. And so basically, Sinyani looks normal. I mean, just a cursory look shows that nothing extraordinary seems to be, you know, happening. I mean, everything is normal. Today was a market day, being a Wednesday, and the market looked a bit smaller than usual. I spoke to some market women, and they expressed the opinion that a lot of people decided not to come to the market today because of a wait-and-see attitude. So a lot of people didn't travel from the districts, you know. But basically, a lot of people, when you talk to them, it's the main thing on their minds. They're just wondering. People are talking about the scenarios that, you know, could play out, you know, through the ruling, you know. So basically everything looks cool, but when you get closer to people, is the main thing on their minds. And one key thing that is very different from normal days is the security situation. Ordinarily, because of the visibility policing, you know, that the police service is, you know, rolling out kindly, you see a lot of policemen around these days. But this time around, the policemen, you know, their dressing seems different. There's a lot of bulletproof vests and all kinds of, you know, protective gear, helmets, truncheons, you know. A lot of policemen in twos and threes, sometimes four or five of them around. A lot of police vehicles. I mean, it's like there's been a lot of increase in the, you know, policemen in the system. And I spoke to the regional police PRO this evening, Inspector Christopher, I beg your pardon, ASP Christopher Tiria, and he assured me that everything is really under control. The military from the 2nd Battalion of Infantry here in Sinyani would be acting as the standby force in case there's any need for them. And they also have some reinforcements, details to bravo from the police headquarters in Accra. You know, so basically from the police side of things, we are very confident that they have their thumb on issues, and everything is going to be ready if need be for them to roll out. So basically, Sunyani looks very cool. People are just waiting patiently for what will unfold tomorrow.
Mm. You said you've been interacting with people, but what have they been saying, especially where would they be tomorrow? Is it that they'll be going about their normal business as usual, or some plan to stay at home for fear of maybe if there is a possible outbreak of violence?
I suspect that tomorrow the streets are going to be very quiet when the proceedings start on television, because a lot of people are just waiting to sit by their TV, you know, to hear for themselves. You know, I hope it doesn't turn out to be an anticlimax for a lot of people if the justices come out and start reading very long, you know, judgments that might be boring to certain people. But a lot of people want to watch television and see for themselves how things will, you know, unfold at the Supreme Court. So I suspect that, like, when the Black Stars is playing and the streets get deserted, we might have a similar situation on our hands once the live coverage of the proceedings start. I have a strong feeling that the streets will be dead quiet as a lot of people will be glued to their television sets.
And have you been to the offices of both the NPP and the NDC? Have you been speaking to the officials, and what have they been telling you? What are the expectations tomorrow?
Yes, the first few party people I approached did not want to talk. You know, no, it seems like I got a feeling that nobody wants to commit himself, make any statements that, you know, might come out back to haunt them. So there's not much activity at both headquarters of the two parties, the NDC and the NPP. You know, and there were few people around. I at the NDC office, for instance, I noticed a car with a lot of NDC flags, you know, on it in front there. But very few, nobody seemed to be ready to talk to a media man. You know, so the parties, I mean, the office looked quiet, normal. I guess, judging from the enormity of what's going to happen tomorrow, there was not much activity at both offices, and most people were not ready to talk.
Mm. All right, John, many thanks for your time with us tonight.
The pleasure was mine.
John Samata is our Bunahavu regional correspondent, and from Bunahavu, we move up country to the Upper East region, where Felix Lambert joins us on the line to tell us about events in the region pertaining to tomorrow. Good evening, Phyllis, and you are welcome.
Yeah, good evening, Agatha.
Well, Phyllis, how is Bonga preparing to receive tomorrow's landmark verdict?
Yeah, well, the region in general is poised for tomorrow. Security is very tight. Before this day or prior to the day, we had the security officials embark on a whole lot of training exercises to equip themselves for this day. So security-wise, yeah, I might say the security is very, very poised for the day. When you roam in town this evening, you will spot security personnel all over the streets in some places that are deemed to be, probably might be a violent area. Very tight. We have security men all over the place. So, like, generally, I'll say the situation is okay. It's not all that alarming.
Mm. And I'm sure you've been talking to people. Would you say they are calm and going about their normal duties, or do you get the sense that people are worried about tomorrow?
No. We, in the Upper East region, I spoke to quite a number of people. I went to the market to talk to some market women to find out if truly tomorrow, as I heard, whether they will not come out to sell their wives, and everybody, answered in the negative that tomorrow they are coming out in their numbers to sell their goods. People are coming out to, like, do their normal work or embark on their normal activities that they have been doing. Except that I just had a chat with some foreigners who are part of voluntary service overseas. And they told me that they've been asked not to go to the office tomorrow. So far, that is the only section of people in the Upper East region that I interacted with, and they told me that they will not be going to the office. But besides that...
And what reasons were given for that?
Well, just for the fear that something might happen. You know, these people are foreigners, and you and I, if anything should happen, at least you know that you've got a home, you know where to run. Although we pray that nothing should happen, but they are foreigners, and the only place they know is from their office to their home. And for other reasons, I don't know, but I just assume that this might be the reason why they ask them not to go to work tomorrow.
Well, have you had any encounter with officials of both the NPP and the NDC, and what are the expectations tomorrow?
Well, today, the two parties in the region, their offices were locked. It was not busy as usual. And I guess most of them went out to have interaction with their supporters and other groups, sympathizers, just to keep calm. As you already know, we're all working very well. We're all working very hard to make sure that tomorrow will be a very peaceful day. So everybody is busy trying to make sure that the situation is brought under control. So when I just said both party offices, they were locked.
But looking at the peace messages all over, from the Christian Council to the Muslims everywhere, it's peace, peace, peace. Would you say the message has gone down with the people?
Yes, of course. The message has gone down with the people, specifically for the people in the Upper East region. We are peace-loving people, and we will not want any destruction, especially considering the fact that we are the least privileged or yet to grow or to develop region. And we've always remained calm, just except to one or two places that are conflict or violence prone. But generally, people have received the messages from the various opinion leaders, traditional authorities. They have received it very well, and then we're hoping that will come into practice tomorrow.
Well, Phyllis, I understand that the regional security council in collaboration with the bar owners have banned alcohol. So can you explain how they came to that consensus?
Yeah, well, we and the Dutch Westek Regional Security Council and then the various political commentators had a meeting, a Westek meeting at the Regional Coordinating Council. And it was something that we all agreed on. One, we should ban the consumption of the selling and consumption of alcohol at public places. And then two, from today, tomorrow next, radio presenters and radio hosts should make sure that they talk about peace and not to talk about anything that will cause destruction in their country. They should be mindful of their language. They should be very civil in their utterances. So this way, the truth is, it was something, as I mentioned earlier, that was agreed by those who attended the meeting. That is the party commentators, the regional minister, and then his deputy, and then the various CEOs and management of the various radio stations in the region, as well as a section of the media.
All right, Phyllis, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
You're welcome, Agatha.
Phyllis Lambert is our Upper East Regional Correspondent, and Nicholas Osewusu is in the Ashanti region, and he has joined us. Good evening, Nicholas, and you are welcome.
Good evening, Agatha. Thank you.
Well, Nicholas, Ashanti region, we know, is the backbone of the opposition NPP. Does it look like a volatile place where something will happen after tomorrow?
Not at all. I mean, going through, especially massive...
Nicholas, could you raise your voice a bit? We can hardly hear you.
In direct response to the question, the lead question, I'm saying that there hasn't been anything suggesting that people are ready to break into violence after tomorrow's court ruling. Going through Kumasi, the regional capital, today I had the opportunity of scanning the metropolis to see the real atmosphere on the ground and to gauge the mood of the people. And everybody seemed to be at peace with him or herself. And the situation looked very normal. And there didn't even seem to be anything or suggest that tomorrow the nation has something bigger at stake that people must be looking forward to and be preparing towards it. So the situation in Kumasi, and for that matter, Ashanti region, looks normal, as has always been the case.
It looks normal. But how true are speculations that residents have resorted to panic buying of foodstuff and other valuables in anticipation of violence?
I can't confirm that report. You know, people sometimes resort to speculations and some level of misreporting about situations, actual situations on the ground. It is not anything I'm aware of. Today, as I indicated, I had to scan the metropolis, where probably the report is coming from. And I went through some banking halls, about 5 banking halls, to see things for myself. And the situation is normal, as I've already indicated. There's nothing new. Nothing has changed. The situation is normal. And to some extent, it was even patronage of some of these activities was even lower than has been the normal situation, especially in the eve of major occasions like festivities, where we have higher patronage of activities. This time it is very normal. There's nothing new, nothing has changed, and the situation is very calm and peaceful. Everybody is at peace with him or herself.
Well, Nicholas, what can you tell us about the security situation, security arrangement there?
In fact, since Monday, the first working day of this week, we have been in touch with the security operatives in the region, especially the lead security agency in terms of internal security arrangement, the police. And everything seems normal. They have been... The one major activity they had to undertake was to deploy some of their men who have been specially trained. They had to undergo 6 months of intensive special training, in particularly mob or crowd control at the regional training police training school. And in the course of the week, they had to end their course, and they were deployed to all the 12 divisions, police divisions in the region, to provide additional security in those areas. Also, today, when I went around the metropolis, I went to the regional police headquarters, where a standby force, the rapid deployment force, who are under the foreign police unit, they were still rehearsing, ready with the accoutrement, all the gadgets they require to be efficient and effective in the delivery of their performance. Should anything happen during this period, they were ready to do battle. Then also, not only the police, which are or who are ready for action in case of any outbreak of untoward situation. The prison service, which also has its regional head office, yes, adjacent to the regional police office, they were also in ready. They were also ready. As some of the officers were very armed, and they had even barricaded the immediate surroundings around the prison yard, such that nobody has been get closer to the actual prison. I don't know whether they are preparing to avert any breakaway of the inmate, or that some people may even want to take advantage of whatever situation that's unlikely to crop up to get some of these inmates out of the prison. So they are also on red alert. And they are also patrolling the city. The city, apart from this, the armed police officers are also patrolling the city, well armed and prepared for whatever consequence they may come across.
All right, Nicholas, many thanks for your time with us tonight.
You're welcome, Agatha.
Nicholas Osewisu is in the Ashanti region, and Kingsley Nana Buedu is our correspondent in Cape Coast, and he's joining us. Now, good evening, Kingsley, and you're welcome.
Thank you very much, Agatha.
Well, Kingsley, are people expressing mixed feelings about the outcome of the Supreme Court verdict tomorrow?
Well, obviously, I must say that like other regions, Cape Coast, especially that's the capital of the Central Region, is quite calm, and I guess is a reflection of what is happening in the rest of the region. What it is that, of course, people are expressing some mixed feelings. They don't seem to know where the verdict will fall, but they have just kept their fingers crossed, waiting for what the 9 judges at the Supreme Court would do so far as tomorrow is concerned.
But how would you describe business in general? Is it slower, or would you say sales have gone up?
Well, I must say that, like, in Cape Coast, for instance, security personnel, like elsewhere, are seen at certain vantage points, especially at lorry stations, marketplaces, banks, highways, and any other vantage places that you can talk of. All what they are doing is to exhibit some sign that, of course, they are ready so far as tomorrow is concerned. When you walk through town, you see them everywhere. They are, at least, they are visible wherever you go. People are going about their normal activities. Of course, they have also kind of assured the people that their presence is not to scare them, especially tomorrow, but just to protect them. They have already been in touch in collaboration with the NCCE, and they are going about radio stations, educating people as to what they should do, what they should not do, and all of that. So far tomorrow is concerned. Speaking to the PRO on our radio network today, and after that meeting him myself, he talked about the fact that the security, especially the police, they are in touch with the other political parties. They have held so many meetings with them, letting them know some of the measures being put in place and things that they need not to do and all of that. And the fact that the political party themselves should be able to sensitize their people as to the tomorrow's verdict to accept the outcome so that they will not go about doing any other thing. I was told that, like Cape Coast, for instance, Cape Coast has been zoned into four parts, and regular night patrols are ongoing. They will be patrolling other places. They have also earmarked certain places that they seem, or they look at them as flash point, and they will be quite cautious so far as those places are concerned. All spots too have been declared as flash point, or they are just looking at those places as potential trouble spots. So they will be deploying people around, the police officers around those places, to ensure that, of course, whilst people are going about their normal duties and probably taking one or two, they will not go beyond what they should do, but they will just act within the laws. Fortunately for me this morning, I had an encounter with the regional coordinator of the National Democratic Congress, Dr. Patrick Enyeje, and he assured me that they have sensitized their people enough, especially in Central Region, that they should not do anything untoward to kind of disturb the peace the region is disturbed or the region is noted for, and that everything, whatever the verdict will be, whether it falls in their favor or otherwise, they should accept it. He has also talked about the fact that they are discouraging passing people, especially from Cape Coast and its environs and the Central Region, to be precise, to Accra, because they have let them know that even Accra itself is congested. The police and the security have put in place so many measures that even those in Accra, not all of them will have access to the Supreme Court and even its environs, its area. So it's not necessary for them to move to Accra. The same way, the National Youth Organizer of the MPP, that's Ejiku, has also assured us that he has had so many encounters with its youth members, and he has told them that there's no need for that. This morning he issued a statement and also cautioning the members of the party not to do anything to tarnish the image of the party, and again also talking about the fact that in terms of jubilation, there should be moderation in whatever they do, so that they will not go beyond what they should do, should it fall in their favor. So at the end of the day, Ghana becomes the winner so far the verdict is concerned. So in the nutshell, Central Region is quite peaceful, I believe, like all the other regions, and the security is quite ready so far as tomorrow is concerned.
All right, Kinsey, many thanks for your time with us tonight. Kinsey Nana Bwedu is our correspondent in Cape Coast. And Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante is Chairman, National Peace Council, and he's joining us. Good evening, Reverend. You are welcome.
Good evening. Thank you very much.
Well, tomorrow is the day we have all been waiting for. How do you feel about it, and how would you describe the work you have done so far to ensure peace after tomorrow?
Well, the fact that you have a good number of people, political parties, youth groups, organizations, institutions, government institutions, non-governmental institutions, all talking about the need to maintain peace, tells you that the campaign has been accepted by Ghanaians. But I think that we should go beyond simply talking about that and walk our talk. In other words, we should not do things that will jeopardize the peace that we already have. Some of the things that perhaps will facilitate peace will be if, in fact, the leadership, the leaders of the two contending parties in court would publicly accept the decision soon after the Supreme Court has given it. It might help, you know, very well. Even in a situation where people feel that they need to go for a review, I think it would be good they do not create a situation that might cause their membership to feel like, you know, they need to do something violent. So I think the leadership must clearly demonstrate, you know, their acceptance of the outcome. Then, of course, in a situation like that, there will be winners and there will be losers. Winners, we cannot stop them from celebrating their victory. But they should do so in moderation. They should do so in humility, bearing in mind that at the end of the day, it is the entire country that will be seen to have won. The losers must not also feel that the world has come to an end. After all, the rule of law is what we have promoted. When you seek redress in court and decision is given, and you abide by the decision, you demonstrate to the whole world that you believe in the rule of law. And that would, you know, say to the world that indeed Ghana's democracy has come to stay. We would also like to say to the media, you have done very well in educating the public, but there is the need for the media to be very circumspect, you know, especially when it comes to doing analysis of the verdict that will be given. I would entreat people who go in there to talk about it to do so carefully. It would be good if experts, people who know the law, are brought in to, you know, do some kind of analysis, but they should do so mindful of the fact that they don't do anything to incite the public, you know, to do things that will not bring honor. I'm also appealing to the police to be very, very, very professional. To be professional means that they should not be partial in the way they go about their work. In other words, if A does it and A has to be dealt with, if B does the same thing, I believe that, you know, the same measure should be given. So they need to be very, very impartial and professional in the way they go about their work. I think these are the things that I would like to say. When we do these things, then we'll be able to actually maintain the peace that we all enjoy.
You've said a lot of things, but ahead of tomorrow, do you have any special peace message for all Ghanaians?
I think my special message to all Ghanaians is for us to realize that we have only one country. After all, every 4 years, there will be elections. So if we do not win this particular one, it doesn't mean the world has come to an end. We need to come together, think through issues, and find ways and means, you know, of maybe marketing and selling ourselves. Then we also have to come together as a country, as people belonging to the same country, to do some reforms in respect of our electoral system. There are so many things that a lot of people have talked about. You know, the way forward will be for the parties to start talking and to create an atmosphere for the politics of consensus that would allow for us to respect the duopoly that we have rather than monopoly.
All right, Rev, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante is Chairman, National Peace Council, and it's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. And this segment is brought to you in collaboration with Star Ghana. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. But how have the legal teams of the petitioners and respondents brace themselves up for the judgment day tomorrow? Ibrahim Amaliba speaks for the NDC legal team. Good evening, Ms. Amaliba, and you're welcome. Hello, Ms. Amaliba, are you there on the line?
I can hear you. Good evening. Good evening to your listeners.
Good evening. Well, it's been a long legal battle. When you look back, would you say you have fought a good fight?
It's been almost 8 months of sleepless nights. And I must tell you that it has paid off. Before we went to court, there was this apprehension that it is going to be difficult for us to counter the claims of the petitioners. But as you know now, due to our hard work, we've been able to punch holes in the petitioner's case. So I would say in one word that it has been a fight worth fighting for, and we are excited about this happening.
Well, but then how well have you positioned yourself for the judgment day tomorrow?
We have no doubt, and we have maintained this position. We have no doubt in our minds that the petitioners have not been able to make a case which will warrant the Supreme Court to overturn the verdict that the people of this country gave to President John Dramani Mahama. And so we still maintain that, but we are mindful of the fact that the final verdict lies with the 9 justices. And so we will go tomorrow to court and hear what they have to tell us. But we are going to court tomorrow, bubbling with confidence that victory shall be ours.
So tomorrow, your expectations are victory is definitely for your party.
That is so. Granted that the evidence adduced by the petitioners in court did not stand the test of time, as we were able to punch holes and to discredit their evidence, we think that the Supreme Court will do justice by upholding our argument.
But then, again, how well have you positioned your supporters to accept the verdict, whichever way it goes?
I am aware that the party hierarchy, together with the legal team, have gone around this country to talk to the supporters and to let them understand that we, being in government, have a greater responsibility to ensure that the peace of this country is intact. And because we are in government, we do not think that our followers and supporters and party members should do anything to disturb the peace of this country. We've also warned them that if they go fomenting trouble, they are going to be on their own, and we are not going to use the party machinery to support them. So they are fully aware of their responsibility to ensure that there is peace and there is no commencement of trouble after the verdict tomorrow.
All right, Ms. Amaliba, many thanks for your time with us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Ibrahim Amaliba speaks for the NDC legal team. And we are also joined on the line by Yao Boabe Asama, also the NPP legal team. Good evening, Ms. Abuabi Asamoah, and welcome.
Thank you.
Well, would you say it has been worth engaging in the long legal battle at the Supreme Court from the NPP's point of view?
that we did what?
It has been worth engaging in the long legal battle.
Oh, certainly. Certainly. It's not about the length. It's about the quality of the output and the matter at stake. This is a huge matter of our constitutional development. And it's any long length of time that it takes for a quality job to be done for the parity is the way to go.
And how is your team bracing itself up for tomorrow's verdict?
The excitement, suppressed excitement. It's like an exam. Every lawyer will tell you that after the arguments are done and you are finished, it's in the hands of the judge. You never know what will happen. So you wait in anticipation. It's like writing a terminal exam. You wait in anticipation of what you have actually done. So you have suppressed excitement. We believe we put our best foot forward, and it was quite a bit of a show. So we expect the best.
Well, I asked your colleague on the other side this question, and I'm also asking you the same question. How well have you positioned your supporters to accept the verdict, whichever way it goes?
I think acceptance has become a national anthem over the past several weeks, probably months. I don't think anybody in this country is about to get up and refuse to accept the verdict of the Supreme Court. I don't think it's an issue at all. Many activists have gone on, and many Ghanaians. I don't even see it in terms of our supporters. I see it in terms of Ghanaians reacting positively and using the judgment to advance constitutionalism in Ghana. I believe strongly in the positive. I don't see a negative reaction at all.
Well, we embarked on a peace crusade to ensure the stability of the state before and after the verdict. Would you say these peace messages have gone down well with the people?
There are also those who are saying that the peace industry is now becoming a scaremongering industry. Well, we're only talking about violence, which is anti-peace, and not talking about the other aspects of the decision that will come. The aspects that concern our constitutional growth. Nobody seems to be discussing those issues, the qualitative issues about how we conduct elections, about how we manage power in this country, about the status and nature of the political party. It's all about fear, peace. Peace at what cost? Is it about anything goes and that's peaceful? Yeah, I think we've done enough of the peace thing. We all accept the peace thing. So let's move on and look at the qualitative aspects of what is coming. Well, if it's about fighting, I don't think anybody is going to fight. So none of those leaders is going to organize people to follow him and fight. I doubt if any of them will do that. At least I can vouch for my leader. He will not do that. So as to the peace thing, yes, it's very necessary we do anti-violence, but we have to be careful we don't tilt the balance into fear and hand over, chain ourselves to fear and say that whatever it is to avoid violence, let's be afraid and take it. It's not a good signal. I think we should insist on the right thing being done. And the right thing is that a good judicial decision comes out, a judicial decision based on the law, based on the evidence. Certainly, not everybody will be happy, but everybody will have to accept it. If it's a good decision, why can't you not accept it? And if you don't accept it, who is going to follow you in not accepting it? So, party people, Ghanaians, we should all be poised for tomorrow. I think it's a very special day in the life of Ghana.
All right, Mr. Boabiasam, I want to thank you for your time with us.
Thank you.
Yeah, Boabiasamwa is with the NPP legal team. And still on the election petition verdict tomorrow, the Ghana Immigration Service is debunking reports by certain media houses that people are leaving the country in droves because of the fear of violence that may erupt after the verdict tomorrow. So what is the real situation on the ground? Francis Palmdetti is head of Public Affairs Ghana Immigration Service, and he's joining us on the line. Good evening, Mr. Palmdetti, and you're welcome.
Good evening.
Well, are you saying people are not leaving the country for fear of violence, contrary to what some media houses are reporting?
I think it's important I put this whole thing in perspective. Our statistics from 2006 indicate that from the beginning of the year to the end of the year, August seems to record the highest number of departures. So from 2006, August recorded the highest, 2007 the same, 2008, except for 2009, where September recorded the highest. 2010 followed the same pattern. August recorded the highest number of departures, 2011 the same, 2012 the same. Now, in 2013, our concern is that some media houses, because they have heard that flights are full and most flights are overbooked, it is because people are scared of the verdict on the 29th. That is why they are trying to leave the country and those flights are full. We are saying that the pattern has shown over time that the month of August is when we record the highest number of departures. And therefore, we cannot attribute failed flights or overbooked flights to the Supreme Court verdict. Now, if we look at the figures, for instance, in 2012, in the month of August, we recorded 84,226 departures. In 2011, we recorded 85,700. This year, as at 25th August, we've recorded 64,086, 20,000 less than even last year. And last year, we didn't have any Supreme Court decision. 2011, we didn't have any Supreme Court decision. So we want to assure the good people of Ghana that there's nothing unusual going on at our borders. And so if flights are being failed or overbooked, it is no indication whatsoever that people are living in droves. Besides, between June and September is when they refer to as the summer period. And that is when you'd realize that departures begin to peak from June. It gets to the top in August and starts going down again in September and then picks up again in December. So for us, what we are looking at in terms of the figures does not give us any signal of an unusual movement of people, let alone to suggest that people are leaving this country in droves. The figures for this year are even less than last year's figures. So I think that it's quite unfounded, and it's unfortunate that these speculations are being put out there to put fear and panic into people.
But then your statistics is only by air travels. How do you know people are not...
I'm sorry. The statistics are national. We receive situational reports from our borders on a weekly basis. And so what I'm telling you is not reports from just Kutuka International Airport. Even though I would say that Kutuka International Airport records our highest migration flows, we take records from all our entry points, and the figures I'm giving you are figures from all our entry points.
So there are figures by land or by sea and air as well?
Sure. All are put together.
So for now, what assurance do you have for Ghanaians that there's nothing unusual or no significant movement of people which should raise any concern for national security?
We are mandated to regulate entry and exit, and we update national security on movements across the border. And so if there are unusual movements, it's our duty to inform national security. As I speak, our borders are normal, things are moving normally. We haven't had a situation where people are fleeing this country. In fact, if people are fleeing this country, you begin to hear that there are refugee camps building up in the countries of our neighbors, and that's not the case. We've spoken to our major entry and exit points, Aflawe, Lubu, and Paga, and everything is normal. So please, be rest assured, once we tell you things are normal at the borders, you should take our word. Everything is moving on normally. But the point is also important to make that August is a high peak period for travel. And so whatever travels we are seeing, we cannot attribute to fear, because we are in summer, and usually in summer, most expatriates and their children travel outside the country, and that is why after September, the numbers begin to dip, and then start picking up again in December. And so in January, you also see significant figures in terms of departures. Obviously, people have come to spend Christmas and are going back. So I just want to tell you that everything is moving on smoothly and normal. I think that the alarm that has been put out there is just unfortunate.
But then where did these reports emanate from that people are leaving the country?
From our own monitoring, some print media outlets put out the story. I heard on some platforms that Delta Airlines were full and that it had been overbooked, etc. And once that kind of information goes out without checking from immigration what the real situation and figures are, people listen to that and begin to fear. How many people travel on airlines? At most 300 a flight, 250 a flight. That doesn't represent the statistics we deal with. It is not significant numbers we are seeing. And I'm saying that in this particular year, August numbers are even less than July's numbers, which are 70,393. That's for July. August is recorded 64,086. Obviously, it is even less than the previous years we've recorded. So there's no cause for alarm.
All right, Francis, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
My pleasure.
Francis Pamdeti is Head of Public Affairs, Ghana Immigration Service. And I would like Atibrukusu, Ezio Mahene of Lower Axim Traditional Area and Vice President of the National House of Chiefs. Good evening, Nana. You are welcome.
Oh, good evening, madam.
Well, 8 months after the 2012 election, the election is being contested as to who won the presidential election. What has been the contribution of Nananum to the National Peace Crusade?
Well, ever since this happened, ever since they started the crusade, Nananum, in our own wisdom, met with the Peace Council and the party leaders. We talked to them, advised them, and we let them know that Ghana is our only country. We have no any other country to go, any other place to go. So they should all accept the verdict. And after that, just about 2-3 weeks ago, there was a meeting at the National House of Chiefs, which Nananum came out with a publication or came out with a statement that whichever the way goes, all the parties should accept. Because in any situation, it's just like a fight. For sure, one will win and one will lose. So the loser should accept the verdict in good faith. But Nananum has been doing a lot. And apart from that, down to the grassroots where our traditional kingdoms are, you have been able to meet with Nananum at the traditional council. This time at the traditional council to meet with Nananum and telling Nananum to tell their people not to, especially the youth, not to engage themselves into anything that will lead to chaos and that sort of thing. So far, Nananum has also sent the messages from the traditional council to their villages, and those are the villages and town also send them down to the Dukros. So in fact, you should know that Nananum from the Nicola talking in terms of reaching the people most of the time or reaching the people. And you will say that Nananum are just down to the grassroots. So in fact, they have done a lot, and at the regional associates, you met and discussed the issues from there to the traditional council and from there to the divisional council. So because of that, you know, Nananum has said a lot and have done a lot and have been meeting our people. And the messages have been given to them, in fact, some are fantastic, that you have been telling them that they should know that the youth of today are going to be the future leaders. And that is exactly what we have done. And we have been able to talk to the youth. And the youth, as a matter of fact, are adhering us. They are doing their best to understand whatever you're doing and whatever you're saying or telling them.
Well, Nana, some people think there is no need to hype up the peace messages because Ghana will remain the same after the Supreme Court verdict. Do you agree with this?
Well, our pastor will not agree with that because we're thinking of the good things. You also need to think of the bad things. In the sense that who knows? And as you have let the youth know, but telling you honestly, madam, most of the youth do not know they are right. Most of them do not know exactly what they need not to do and what they have to do. But at least giving them their sensitization, they have at least come back to their notice to know that they need to think. They need to think and think and also think of the future. And also to know that the future belongs to them. We are getting to the middle age and in the near future we'll be going. And as the saying goes, the future leaders is the youth at present that you're seeing. So letting them know is better than to sit down under. In our local dialect, there's an adage that says minimanka, maybe an wa kitchen. So if you alert them, then at least that will let them know exactly what is going on, especially the youth. So it's good we have done that. At least A lot of people at times do come to my palace and do ask, I would like, what is going on? You have heard a lot. And in fact, you are not having that idea. You are having a different view altogether. But now that you have been told, now that you have been told and notified, in fact, you're going to do things that you need to do. Or say, yeah, die also. And you better die also. And I'm saying, yeah, things in the brain. So, what actually have been done will go very well and very well down to the root where people will understand and at least have heard about that. So it is very good, and as I would say, it is very good that things have been done. But anyway, too much evil, as some people say, is very bad. But what we have done is enough to let people know that we are one people, one destiny, and one nation. That is exactly what I will talk about. It's very good you have done that.
Well, briefly, Nana, what are your expectations?
Oh, the way things are going, people should not panic. People should not fear. People should not fear at all. People should not panic. One other that I will say is that at the end of it, tomorrow, after the verdict, for sure, the everything will become, people will understand it. The youth are the people that need to be talked to. And now that we have been able to advise them and talk to them, for sure, I know nothing is going to happen. Ghana is a peaceful country, loving country. And others are watching us, others are looking at us. You have taken the lead in Africa, and a lot of people are watching us. So I know for sure that status, Ghanaians will prefer that you maintain that status. And for sure, what people are saying that they're going to be chaos and people are traveling others, I don't think it is true. People are not traveling. People are in the country. So it is going to work. So nobody should fear.
People
should live in a...
All right, Nana, we want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Thank you so much, madam.
I would like to Atibrukusu is the Omahene of Lower Axim Traditional Area and Vice President of the National House of Chiefs. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana, and this segment was brought to you in collaboration with Star Ghana. Behind the News live on Radio Ghana Accra. Ghanaians may come out of the Supreme Court election petition blues and find out that the country's public universities have closed if the grievances of the striking university teachers are not addressed. Members of the University Teachers Association of Ghana, UTEG, have been on strike since the beginning of this month to press home their demand for market premium arrears and rectification of the anomalies in the book allowance. Even though the premium arrears has been paid, the university teachers are resolved to stay away from the lecture halls until their grievances on the book allowance is settled. Not even the interventions of the national security and the vice chancellors of the universities have resolved the problem. And Dr. Anthony Simons is the president of the University Teachers Association of Ghana, and he's joined us on the line. Good evening, Doc, and you are welcome.
Yeah, good evening.
Well, Doc, we are told the universities have been meeting over the issue. What is the consensus now?
Well, we don't have the total, decisions from all the campuses. I have about four, but I wouldn't be able to, tell you until I have the remaining four. So most probably, tomorrow, I should think that tomorrow I should have the remaining four.
Well, parents are appealing to UTAC to go back to the lecture halls in the interest of the state. And parents, are you not listening to them?
Well, since we are, deliberating on these issues, I think we are factoring everything in its totality, okay? And they should also have patience. I mean, today, tomorrow, and Friday is not far. They will hear from us.
Does it mean that after the meeting, we are going to see you back to the lecture halls?
Well, everything is possible.
Everything is possible. But then there are those who fear that universities would close down if you continue this strike. Aren't you entertaining similar fears?
Well, I don't know, but you see, we met on Monday, And then there were some proposals on the table. We have taken these proposals to our constituents, and they are, you know, considering it. They are deliberating on it, and they are coming out with decisions. Already, as I've told you, we have four already. Other universities are yet to, you know, consider that. And so it's not that we are not hearing anybody. It's part of the process, you know. We need to interrogate, you know, some of these issues very well, because we don't want a situation where, you know, Utah calls off a strike and comes back again, and it's becoming, you know, unbecoming. So we want to put an end to some of these things. So, I mean, we should exercise patience. Today and Friday, or today to Friday is not far. We would come up with our position.
Well, the National Security and the Vice Chancellors are intervened to get the problem addressed. Would you say it did not yield any meaningful result?
Oh, I wouldn't say so. I wouldn't say so, because it's as a result of what the Vice Chancellors did that we having this series of meetings on our various campuses. And so it was positive. It was fruitful. Okay, so I would say I'm glad they did, and we are considering it seriously.
But then, what is the latest development on the book allowance, which you are still complaining about? Government has still not responded to that.
Well, I don't know whether I should say yes or no, but you see, the vice chancellors and then the council are there representing our employers, and so definitely I would say they are part of government, isn't it? And so once they met us on Monday, it means they were working on behalf of government. And so, yes, they have intervened. They have made proposals. We said, you know, NEC wasn't capable of taking a decision on that. And so they should allow us to come back and let the people decide. And they are on it. And so, well, so far all is good.
All right, Doc, I want to thank you for your time with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Anthony Simons is the president of the University Teachers Association of Ghana. And this is where we end tonight's edition of the program. Now, Jable, I'll go read the summaries. And my producers were Christopher Siedu and Edmond Tete. Yawadu controlled the sounds. My name is Agatha Samwa. Many thanks for staying tuned.